Amen. Well, good morning. I know a few of you are going like, why is Bill up here? Well, this past Monday, we had the pleasure of receiving into the world little baby Iris Louise Rice. And what a great child. She knew to come on her Father's Day off. So it was like, okay, Mike, why would you want me to come up and preach when... But, you know, we told him. Al and I wanted to make sure he knew he's got more important things to do and take care of his family than to study. And plus, he's going to be taking us into a new book next week. We're going to be going into the book of Colossians, so you can jump ahead and read and be ready for that. Before we get started, I want to make sure you guys know that if anyone needs a Bible, we have them over there. We have the prayer card, so if anything's going on in your life and you want to share it, you want the body to be praying for you, please put it down, that card. If it's something you want only Mike to see, just mark the box, and he will be going over it and getting in touch with you during the week. Some other announcements is next Saturday here at 4:30 in the afternoon, we'll be going over the membership class, so please be here. We're going to be set up and ready to go in that. And I think that's all for the announcements. Anything else? Oh, we do, in case you haven't seen, we have Gracie back with us visiting. I know Grace just said to mention her granddaughter, but I wanted to point out it's nice to have Gracie back with us with her little 8-month-old little baby. What a beautiful little girl. I know Sawyer's already checking her out going, who's this? Okay, so today we're going to be looking at Psalm 37:4. So get your Bibles out, fire up your electronic devices, whatever you're going to be using. We're going to be looking at Psalm 37:4. Remember when Colleen asked me as she was picking up music what we're going over, and that's all I said, and she's like, really? That little verse? Yes, we're going to be going through it. It's going to take us some time. And the verse says, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, isn't this everyone's favorite verse? To mess up. And that's true, right? Because seriously, we focus on that last part. You mean, I get the desires of my heart? You start looking for the fine print. It's like, okay, how much do I have to delight in the Lord before I could earn some points to get the desires of my heart? That's what we do, right? We do it with everything. I know I was sitting there this morning looking and figuring out, wait a minute, I bought a couple of teas. Starbucks hasn't given me any bonus stars. I'm going to be missing out on another free reward. And so I had to not call the corporate office. I had to sit there and just be patient. And that we really want to discuss this delight in the Lord. Now, Corrie Ten Boom, who was a Dutch lady who rescued hundreds during World War II, but also saw her family split up when she was informed on. Her father went away to a camp and passed away quickly of a heart attack, and her sister died in the same camp she was at. She was famously wrote, "Look around and you'll be distressed. Look within and you'll be depressed, but look to the Lord and you'll find rest." From all of her experiences that she experienced, from seeing people persecuted, from seeing her own family ruined, she has all these experiences. She ought to know about rest in the Lord. And her words are so applicable today for us. There are so many things that we can look around and become distressed or depressed about. I think about at our own community group last Thursday, the hurt that's in within our group, the family members that are hurting, the loved ones themselves that are hurting. This nation seems to be sinking further and further into moral depravity. And the loved ones we care about are straying or even suffering. But even the worst of times, we got to know there's joy available to us as Christians if we look in the right place. And this short passage speaks volumes to us. It reminds us of what that right place is. And this is in the Lord Himself. I think most of us probably know this, but it's good to be reminded of it. The most important thing that anything can take away in times like this, and indeed at any time, is to take the time to delight ourselves in the Lord. To help our growth in the Lord, we really need more than anything is to delight ourselves in the Lord. So this first section I want to cover now is called Delight Yourself in the Lord. The word here, delight, is a Hebrew word. It's only used about six times in the Bible. Now, Mike on Al can give you a better definition of this Hebrew meaning, but I can tell you what. I got this down in English. This word means delight. But seriously, the word does seem mean something delicate or soft that a person could joy and delight in. In Isaiah 66:11, the same word is used to describe a nursing child who delights in their mother. And I think after seeing the newborns here in the church, that I can say the reverse is probably true too, that moms and dads rejoice in that time with their delicate little newborn. Isaiah 13:22 uses the word to describe luxuries that are found in a palace. And delight, we know, can be found in people or things or in various experiences. Now think about this. When you delight in something, you're constantly turning to it. You think of it early, often, and late. It makes you smile to think of something you delight in. It cheers your heart when other things are depressing you. You do all that you can do regarding it because it is your delight. And a person's delight can be found in many different things. I know some of you are already thinking about, okay, what delights me, or you're already thinking about your delight as we talk about this. I know me, myself, and my family are already talking about a delight in our lives that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And it's not so much the Super Bowl, it's the food we're going to have to celebrate the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get, Colleen is wonderful at frying things, but she doesn't do it often, and it's a shame. But Super Bowl, she will take that time to fry stuff up, and oh, it is. I mean, Tyler and I were just talking about it the other day, about how wonderful that's going to be. The worst thing is my oldest daughter was talking about going on a diet and avoiding those such foods on the Super Bowl. I had to be biblical and pull out my Bible and say, Satan, get behind thee. So picturing all these delights we have in the world, we now need to shift to a greater light. And the Bible commands us in this verse to find our delight in the Lord. That same delight we try to find in so many things, we need to find in Him. I know we forget, and sometimes we think the Bible is just a good book of life suggestions as a good life coach. But we need to remember that it is our book of instruction, encouragement, and our love letters from God. Now this word from delight, Job 22:25-26, uses that Hebrew word when it says, the Almighty will be your gold and a choice silver to you, for then you will delight in the Lord Almighty. We are to, therefore, delight in the Lord like we do with our finest treasures. We are to develop a love relationship with the Lord and a relationship of mutual delight. I want to repeat that again, mutual delight. In Zephaniah 3:14, in the North American Standard Bible, the NSB translation, it says the following for us. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all of your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away His judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you will fear disaster no more. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will renew you in His love, and He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. So here's a picture that the Bible shows us of this mutual, delightful love relationship that we are to have with the Lord. Why? Because the King, the Lord, is in our midst. He is in our midst. We are to exult over Him. But that's not the end of the story. It then goes on to say in verse 17 that the Lord your God is in the midst, and it says He will exult over you and rejoice over you with shouts of joy. So we are to exult over Him as He exults over us. We are to find our exultation and joy and delight in our relationship with the Lord. Indeed, my people, this is what we are made for. The problem is, I don't think most people, even most of God's people, really understand that we are to find our delight in the Lord. If so, it could be just that it's head knowledge for us, and we haven't really worked that into finding the delights of the Lord with a heart knowledge. Because Scripture commands us to do this, here and elsewhere. It tells us that the delights are available for us in Christ. Now in Psalm 16, it says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." David said there is joy and pleasure to be found in the presence of the Lord. We will have this fullness in heaven, but why wait? It can begin now. We are to find our pleasure and delight in Him. I think the biggest problem we have is with this world now, especially, that we can find our delight in things other than God. Whether it's food, TV shows, drugs, TV shows, sex, possessions, TV shows, or success in the job, TV shows, or other types of relationships. I think I'm pointing out what my biggest problem is. We keep trying to fill that void with other things in our lives besides God. But when we truly think about it, there's nothing that really fills that void. There's nothing that really can fill that void except God. And we end up hurting ourselves and hurting other people. The single greatest need that everyone truly has is to find our delight in the Lord, just like Psalm 37:4 commands us to do. Section 2, let's go over the commitment involved in this. Hi, Sawyer. It is important at this point to realize there is a commitment involved if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord. Because the Hebrew verb here is in the reflexive tense. It means that you are doing the action for yourself. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. This indicates that there is effort and there is commitment involved on your part. You must choose to do it. You must choose to do it. You must give effort. You must turn your mind towards it. And you must exercise the disciplines required to achieve it. C.S. Lewis, in a sermon that he gave called The Weight of Glory, and if you want, you can go onto YouTube, this wonderful time of technology, and you can search for that, and you can get that sermon read to you. Part of that sermon, he talks about Greek students. When they're very young and they have to learn the Greek language for the first time, they have the very difficult work ahead of memorizing not only words, but patterns in the Greek language. He said it can be very dry and dull indeed to do this. Then few people are willing to give the time and attention necessary to master that language. But he said when they have mastered it, they get the joy of reading the original Greek classics in the language, and it's a joyous and rapturous time to read the language in the original. But that only comes after much discipline and much arduous tasks. And Al's smiling at me because, if you know, he even wrote his own flashcards to learn this language by himself. And what we need to understand is our walk our walk with God can be the same way. When you hear a pastor say you can find delight by walking with God every day in prayer and study of His Word, you may go home and begin to read your Bible and pray to Him, but you don't find any joyous rapture in it. Indeed, you may not. Perhaps God may give you a chance where you begin reading it and you find that rapture of reading His Word and going through times of devotion. Or it may be, do you like those Greek students where it's a little dry and dull at first? You can read the Word. You can learn what it means. You can sing songs to Him. You can pray prayers. And at first, it just may take discipline. But if you continue in it, you will find delight in your joy from the time of doing it. And like those students of the classical language, you will grow to love your time in the Word. Our God is infinite, and the pleasures that we can find in Him are infinite. In Psalm 16:11 tells us, in your right hand there are pleasures forever. The pleasures He has to offer us will never cease. But we may need to discipline ourselves at first to define those delights that are available in Him. Okay, section 3, what does this look like in practice? What specifically are we supposed to do? Now, if we look at a model, we can look at King David. For here is a man that started off strong in his faith with Jesus, had a rough patch, and then came back and in full just loved and worshiped his God. So we find that he got up early to spend time with the Lord. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you, and I will eagerly watch. As we have talked about before, those words indicate commitment that David had to walk with God in prayer first thing in the morning. I'd say it's vital to begin your day that way if you're going to delight in the Lord. He said in another psalm, I will seek you earnestly. I can tell you that the Hebrew, the word earnestly literally means early. If you are serious about seeking God and delighting in Him, you need to seek Him first thing in the morning. It's a good to spend other time with Him too, as we're going to look and see that how David did this in his life, But this is a must to start your day with Him. When David met with the Lord, he would sing. In Psalm 59:16, David says, I will joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. So David found joy in singing to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say you need to wake up in the morning and go through your house singing. If that's your question, don't worry about it. You don't have to walk around in the morning singing, because you may find delight in it, but the others in your household may not. I know mine would feel that way. Also, I don't want to tell you there's a certain amount of time that you need to meet with the Lord in the morning to fulfill your duty. That's something you need to start off with the Lord, with reading and praying that word back to Him, and then gradually build upon that. But David did not only do this in the first of the morning. He did all through the day. In Psalms 55:17, he said, evening, morning, and noon, his prayers would go up to God. Now, excuse me, that does not mean that three times a day he would do that, but it means that different parts of the day he would have times of prayer and thanksgiving with God. And I think if you practice that in the morning, you'll find that you're carrying that prayer with you. You don't have to say amen in the morning. You can keep it going. You can walk through your whole day in times of prayer with Jesus, as you see something happen, as someone brings you a difficult question, as you witness something happen in their life, you can be praying to God as you talk to Him. And there's another passage that gives us some instruction on regarding delight in the Lord, and that's Isaiah 58:13-14. It says there, call the Sabbath a delight. Honor it. Stop seeking to avoid it. And then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. We see there that delighting in the Lord means a couple things. It means to delight in his day. He calls the Sabbath a delight, so we need to delight in worshiping him on Sunday, be regular in our attendance, and spend time during the day, too, resting, reading a good godly book, listening to worship music, delighting in him on a special way on his day. It also says in there, desist from your own ways. This means we're going to have to turn away from the practice of sin in our lives, which can put a cloud on the relationship with God. You can never really have a full delight in him if you're continuing in a known sin in your life. You cannot. As Isaiah says, this sin causes a separation between you and God. The single biggest thing some of us need to do to begin to delight in the Lord is to follow the advice of Isaiah and stop seeking our own ways. But if we put a practice of the things that David did and that we see elsewhere in Scripture, even at first, if trying to delight in the Lord is just a discipline, like C.S. Lewis said it was for Greek students, that we will eventually, with God's grace and help, find delight and true joy in him. An example I got from an article, or actually reading about the life of Samuel Rutherford, a 17th century pastor in Scotland. He was a man that was graduated from college, became a pastor, and shortly after that, his wife was sick, and for several years, passed away, and he also lost his daughter. So what he had was this congregation. And then because he was a man that was believed the same that we did, he believed in the doctrines of grace, he wrote a book about it, and that put him at odds with the church, the Episcopalian church in England at the time. So they brought him before their high court, stripped him of his pastoral duties, and exiled him farther north up in Scotland in a place called Aberdeen. And this was exile was a sore trial for this pastor, for he lost his family. Now he lost his church family, and he felt being separated was unbearable. But because of this exile, we now have all the letters he wrote to his congregation that dealt with how Christ had turned this hard journey for him into great blessing. In those letters, he revealed his great love and delight in the Lord that had been born out of this separation from his body. In one of the letters he wrote to a William Gordon, he wrote the following, and he uses the example of refined metal. He wrote, "The dross of my trials gathered a scum of fears in the fire, doubtings, impatience, unbelief, challenging of providence is sleeping, and not regarding my sorrow. But my goldsmith, Christ, was pleased to take off the scum and burn it in the fire. And blessed be my refiner, he hath made the metal better. Now his love in my heart casteth a mighty heat. He knoweth the desire I have to enjoy him. Love defieth reproach, for I am further from yielding to the course of defection than when I came hither. It had pleased my Lord so to line my heart with the love of my Lord, Jesus, that I laugh at the world's golden pleasures, at this dirty idol that the sons of Adam worship, this worm-eaten God which my soul has fallen out of love with." So Rutherford said at the time that he went through this exile, God had refined him so much that what the world called the golden pleasures, he had something better now to delight in. He had something better that offered this to him. It was the love of the Lord. And this is what Psalm 37:4 is telling us. It's telling us that more than anything else in the world, we are to find this delight in Jesus. And that should be our goal, is to grow in a faith that's the same as Samuel Rutherford. My prayer is for all of us at Soma to have this same delight in Jesus. I know in my life I have glimpses of this when I get up faithfully, have a time of word, have a time of prayer, and then I see how it changes my day at work and for the whole attitude. And John Piper said, I wake up sad every day and have to preach the gospel to myself. And this is what we have to do. I love the mornings when I wake up and I get to hear a worship song that we sing in my head, or songs that I play in the afternoon in my office, or wake up and you have someone's on your mind to be praying for. It's a great feeling. And while we're not perfect in our walks, and we need to long to do better in them, I know I want my family to do better. I want my community group to do better. And I want us as Soma, I want us to do better. We have the commands in this book that we need to follow so that we can reach out to others. We can be in a position to reach out to others that are hurting in this world. And they can learn to grow about and learn about this delight that we have in Jesus. I know I need a whole more of that delight in him in my life than I presently have. And I imagine some of you feel the same way. But at least to help, if we know this, and this is what we need, and we can start working our way towards it. Our greatest help is not going to be found anywhere else, not in anybody, not in anything. What we need more than anything else is to delight in the Lord. And we need this more than we need, for example, the stock market to go up. More than we need a job, more than we need money, house, or car, more than we need to be well, more than we need to be in a relationship, more than we need our favorite team to win, don't stone me, more than we need anything else, we need to learn to delight in the Lord, because if we really learn to delight in him, then we will have what it takes to be truly happy. And the truth is, even if you have all these other things, you may not be truly happy until you learn to delight in him. It is absolutely our greatest need, folks. God help us to truly learn to delight ourselves in the Lord. And Jesus delights in us. How do I know this? Part of the thing I did this week is look in the back of my Bible, in the very back, and I found the names that he has for believers. I counted them up because it seemed like a lot. I found 78 names he has for us. And guess what? They're all positive. There are names like believers. There are names like loved by God, children of the light, chosen instruments, fellow heirs. I love that part that talks about how we are heirs with Christ. And Mike spoke on this last week. Excellent ones, friends of God, God's treasured possessions, royal priesthood, salt of the earth, vessels for honor. And that's good to know, because in that time there were vessels that were dishonored. Witnesses for God. And it also mentions at least 47 rewards for believers. Think about the people you love and delight in and the names you have for them. I doubt if you have 78, even if you count the non-positive ones. Your names like Love, Dear, Pookie. So, we are greatly loved by Jesus, and one day we will be with him forever. What delight is to have that relationship in place now and experience that delight, which will be magnified one day to a level we will never fully know on this side of heaven. I think as you go through discipleship, you will walk with Jesus, and even hopefully you'll walk with others too in a close relationship. Because while you develop this, you really need to be walking with somebody else and sharing your times of reading, sharing your hurts, sharing the positive things you found in the Bible. And we were made to do that. I know in my life and my walk with Christ, I've experienced times of great delight in him. And every now and then I get off that steady path. But it's so great with Jesus that we can hit a reset button and be right back onto it, sharing that times of reading with him and loving him. I think the more you build this daily delight in Christ into your life, you will find the stuff that you used to care about so much and those delights that you think you have in your heart will truly change, and you will find the delight in Jesus Christ and what he wants for you to delight in. And I think in the end, all we will have is Christ. That's it. When everything else is stripped away, when we stand before our God, all we want to hear him say is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you so much for the picture you show us, the picture throughout the Bible of you and your love for us and how you want that mutually. You want us to think of you morning, day, and night like you do of us. And that's why you were so obedient to the Father to go up on that cross and to give us away to you and to your Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We just want you to come down and fill us so we seek that relationship on a daily basis. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the people. I thank you for the great love that we find in them for you. We never want to take you for granted. In your precious name we pray. Amen.